Hello, Watermarkers. We're back. This is Jeff Kaberski, a.k.a. Cub, and my wingman,
Dave McDonald. And I think Cub and I are still seeking out a better name for ourselves. This is, Dave and Cub doesn't have a lot of zing to it.
Good thing my name's not Buster.
Not like the guys, all Steves, the Big Steve Party, whoever those guys are. Anyway, what we want to do today is sort of recap where we're at in the book of Samuel, and we're going to be talking today about chapter 24. And in this chapter, King Saul is hunting David in the wilderness. King Saul enters a cave, and it's the same cave that David and his men are hiding in. While David has the opportunity to kill Saul and is encouraged to do so by his men, David believes it's God's decision, whatever happens, and secretly cuts a piece of Saul's robe to show him that he could have killed him, but did not. David confronts Saul and declares his innocence. Saul is deeply moved and states that David is more righteous than he, and one day he will become king of Israel. And Cub, if you would mind.
This is 1 Samuel chapter 24. After Saul returned from fighting the Philistines, he was told that David had gone into the wilderness of En-Gedi. So Saul chose 3,000 elite troops from all of Israel and went to search for David and his men near the rocks of the wild goats. At the place where the road passes some sheepfolds, Saul went into a cave to relieve himself. But as it happened, David and his men were hiding farther back in that very cave. "Now's your opportunity," David's men whispered to him. "Today the Lord is telling you, I will certainly put your enemy into your power to do with as you wish." So David crept forward and cut off a piece of the hem of Saul's robe. But then David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this to my lord the king. I shouldn't attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him." So David restrained his men and did not let them kill Saul. After Saul had left the cave and gone on his way, David came out and shouted after him, "My lord the king!" And when Saul looked around, David bowed low before him. Then he shouted to Saul, "Why do you listen to the people who say I am trying to harm you? This very day you can see with your own eyes it isn't true. For the Lord placed you at my mercy back there in the cave. Some of my men told me to kill you, but I spared you, for I said, I will never harm the king. He is the Lord's anointed one. Look, my father, at what I have in my hand. It is a piece of the hem of your robe. I cut it off, but I didn't kill you. This proves that I am not trying to harm you and that I have not sinned against you, even though you have been hunting for me to kill me. May the Lord judge between us. Perhaps the Lord will punish you for what you are trying to do to me, but I will never harm you. As that old proverb says, from evil people come evil deeds. So you can be sure I will never harm you. Who is the king of Israel trying to catch anyway? Should he spend his time chasing one who is as worthless as a dead dog or a single flea? May the Lord therefore judge which of us is right and punish the guilty one. He is my advocate, and he will rescue me from your power." When David had finished speaking, Saul called back, "Is that really you, my son David?" Then he began to cry. And he said to David, "You are a better man than I am, for you have repaid me good for evil. Yes, you have been amazingly kind to me today, for when the Lord put me in a place where you could have killed me, you didn't do it. Who else would let this enemy get away when he had him in his power? May the Lord reward you well for the kindness you have shown me today. And now I realize that you are surely going to be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will flourish under your rule. Now swear to me by the Lord that when that happens, you will not kill my family and destroy my line of descendants." So David promised this to Saul with an oath. Then Saul went home, but David and his men went back to their stronghold.
Well done, Cub. Thank you. What struck me throughout this was the amazing commitment that David had to obeying the Lord at this point in his life. I thought a great example of that was in verse 4, "I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish," knowing that previously he had been told not to touch the anointed king. That was the Lord's command. So as tempting as it was to do something, the Lord is putting the choice back in David's hand, and David repeatedly throughout his life made the right choice. And the right choice was always to turn back and obey what the Lord had told him. Yep. Amazing, you know, dedication and obedience and love for the Lord.
Absolutely.
And probably fear, because the Lord had shown what can happen when you don't.
Right.
So it's a bit of both, I suppose.
Yeah, no, I thought this chapter really, really talks to obedience, right? And David's obedience to the Lord. And you're right, through fear. I think the one part that caught me, and I'm a spy thriller novel reader, right? And so here they're in a cave, right? And they're hiding in a cave, and Saul walks along and come in, and you know, like any good Hollywood movie, I'm like the protagonist, antagonist, and I'm like, here's the chance, right? He's going to kill him. And you know, obviously that didn't happen. He snipped the robe, and he even felt guilty of snipping the robe because Saul was God's chosen one.
It had to be great temptation to take care of the guy that's been pursuing him. And he was encouraged by his men to do so.
Right.
Kill him. So they said, kill him. And he listened to the Lord again, felt, you know.
Right. Yeah, that restraint and just patience, knowing that the Lord is in control, was something that really, really stood out to me.
Sure. I think the other thing that really struck me was in verse 12, when the two men were essentially talking to each other, that being Saul and David, it says, may the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me. At this point, it's a point of transition, because I think that, frankly, it sounded like David recognized that Saul had his faults. I don't know that he had a better opinion or he thought he could do a better job. I don't think that's the case. I just think that he was so focused on being obedient that he said to the Lord, please show us the direction. What is your direction? Which one of us should lead? This is sort of the start of the beginning of the end, if you will, of Saul and the beginning of David.
Yeah. I think the other thing this chapter really spoke to me on, its timeliness right now with what's going on in this world, was the obedience that David showed for and respect for leaders. And when David comes out of the cave to address Saul, he bows down to him, recognizing Saul as the king and the king that God had chosen. He's giving him respect. And God in the Bible has stated several times in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, God's word states, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. And in Hebrews, it speaks in that chapter a little bit more about the spiritual leaders. But even in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, the verse shows, show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers, fear God, and honor the emperor. And there it's talking really about all leaders, right? And so God is in control. God has picked the leaders of the world, whether they're spiritual leaders, whether they're county leaders, whether they're, you know, national leaders, world leaders, leaders of your school board, right?
Yeah, it's a good and I think a pretty timely, you know, lesson or, you know, this discussion that we're having about respecting leadership, because I think we've fallen away from that in many respects. And it's not, ultimately, it is, as you say, the Lord's judgment on who succeeds and who fails. And we as Christians have to have faith in the fact that the Lord will put in place and also remove leaders.
Right. No, I totally agree. So that was something that really, in my mind, shone in this chapter.
I think also that Saul humbling himself and recognizing that David really was the next king. It was pretty obvious that David, his obedience was unwavering, as we talked about. And Saul had his difficulties. He had times where he put himself and his desires ahead of what the Lord had told him to do. And I think he also became, you know, jealous and so therefore was hunting down David and wanted to get rid of his sort of nemesis. Right. But at the end, he saw that David forgave him. And through that forgiveness, he saw the closeness that David had to the Lord, and he recognized that because he, at many times of his life, Saul was dedicated to what the Lord wanted of him, but there were times when he wasn't. And so, you know, that aided in sort of the transition between the two of them and was sort of the end of Saul's leadership and, you know, kind of sad, I guess, for Saul, but it was good to see him come back and humble himself and be thankful that David was going to spare he and his family from any further harm.
Yeah, which I think is a theme, too, is justice, right? And, you know, as you just stated at the end of the chapter, it speaks that, you know, Saul asked that he wouldn't harm his family and his descendants, which, you know, at that time, I think was a regular occurrence that when a new king took over, sometimes they wiped out the former king's descendants to make sure nobody came up through those ranks and took over from them, right? It would kind of subsided them. But this whole chapter speaks of David's knowledge that God will have final say in justice, right? And that we shouldn't take those decisions into our own hands. And so he clearly states at the end that he would not kill Saul's descendants, but he would leave that in the hands of the Lord.
Yeah, and when one of the things that the Bible tells us repeatedly is to love each other as we have been loved, and to forgive our enemies. Not always easy, but in this case, David did that. Impressive for, you know, he forgave the guy who was hunting him down to kill him. Pretty humbling.
Yeah, it is. Let's close in prayer. And so, dear Lord, we just give thanks for this chapter. We give thanks for being here today to discuss this. Lord, let us remind ourselves that you are in control and you are the ultimate decision maker, and that if we leave things up to you, things will work their way out. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We thank you for being a forgiving God, because we know we make mistakes, and we just give thanks for all the love you share with us each and every day. Amen.
Amen. Thanks. Have a great day, everybody.